So we're getting started. What was I gonna say? So this session or this weekend was about Luke 12:49. This is our third session officially. So Luke 12:49 says in the King James, "I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled." And kindle is, I wish it was already blazing, you know. And this wasn't a destructive thing. He didn't come to send fire to burn it all up, you know, deal. And we've learned throughout the week in that the fire is really God or his presence, right? And so we could have said Jesus came to send the presence of God around the earth. And we know the spiritual, but the glory of the God, glory of the Lord should fill the knowledge of the earth. But he says, I wish I didn't come to have to spread that. I wish it was already existing, right? And so we've gone so backwards. Jesus came to get us back to point zero, right? But we've got more to do, right? But he was faithful to his mission to bring life back to the planet so that people could now be burning again with their right image of themselves, which is Father God, right? He came so to show how to live in relation with the Father, because mankind was now living for all kind of things, but not living in union, right? So he was the living embodiment of like, what's it like if someone trusts God? Acts 10:38 says he went about doing good because God was with him. And so we're back to right now, not only is God with us, but God is living inside of us. And so we need to figure out how do we live our life now that we've got an alien being in our belly, right? And this alien being happens to be good and benevolent, right? And mighty and powerful and wants to share his gifts and his powers and abilities. And we got to figure out, well, how do I receive that? It's not through your head, because God said, give you a clue, I'm a spirit being. So we need to talk in spirit stuff, right? So the scripture, so during the worship thingy, I was like, wow, God not only wants us to know what he can do, but he wants us to learn what we can do in him and through him. And the shirt that I'm wearing, sorry for those who can't see it, I love hunting for bargains, right? Yes. And so I will hunt in all kinds of stores, right? I'll hunt at Kohl's and look and hit that 70-cent store, right? And that 70-cent rack, and I'll find a gem in there. Or I'll go to Goodwill and find some hidden treasure, right? This is from one of those stores. So I like Star Trek. And one of my books, I have a quote and it says, you know, go where no man's gone before. You cannot go to the kingdom of God as a man or a woman. You can't go in the kingdom as a human.
Right.
You have to be different, right? But I want to keep my, you're not going in. But I, you're not going in, you know. But I'm safe, yes, but if you want to hold on to humanity, you can't go in, okay? This is like scuba diving at 50 feet underwater for 15 minutes. You need an air tank. But I just want to go down without an air tank. I'm sorry, you will die. You cannot function in that environment your way. You cannot function in the kingdom of God based on your human mindset, your limitations, what your parents told you, da-da-da-da-da. You have to be born again, born from above, and then need a new mind. You can't do it your way, right? Fire. You can't handle fire with your bare hands. But I like it. It's so nice. It's so cool. You'll hurt yourself. You need to be properly equipped to deal with fire. You need to be properly equipped to deal with the all-consuming fire. One of his names is all-consuming fire. In the Hebrew, it's something like Eshkohala. Yeah. But he is fire. You cannot deal with him your way. We have to learn his ways. During the worship, I was reminded of this scripture. It's Psalm 103, verse 7. He makes known his ways to Moses, but to the other people, he showed his acts. Many people are very satisfied with, the God I know can raise the dead, do this. I saw him do. Man, he's awesome. That's the acts of God. That's pretty good. That's level one. Level two is, if you're a friend of mine, I'll show you how I do this stuff. Why does he want to show you how to do it? answer the question.
So we can do it too.
Right. It's not so that we can do in our house, go, I can make water. It's so you make water so they can live. Okay? I can raise my family from the dead. Nice. But you're supposed to go change the whole world, right? He's showing you his ways so you can go do his ways. This shirt here, which I thought was a cool Star Wars, Star Trek shirt, I did a little more research, and I found out this emblem is, first of all, inside the Star Trek emblem that you guys can't see, is another little circly thing. I thought it was a circly thing. It's actually coiled lightning. I was like going, whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, I was like going, come on. I'm Googling this. I'm going, okay, what does this emblem mean? This emblem is specifically for engineering and operations. I thought it was this Star Trek-y thingy. As I delved deeper into it and did some research, because I'm a king, the glory of kings is to search out a matter. I searched it out. I found some value. I thought, you want me to be in operations. So I wasn't going to pack the shirt, but I packed it because this is cool. And I didn't know that we were going to go to this place, but yay, right? So God knows the end from the beginning. So your thoughts of you end from the beginning is a godly characteristic. It's not normal, but don't be normal. Be godly. Okay? And that's the problem with most people. We want to be normal and acceptable and not be godly. God's plan for you is to be like Jesus. That's God's plan. That's his agenda. If you deviate from the agenda, you're in rebellion against the Almighty God. That's called pride. Humility is accepting his agenda. He wants to make you awesome. He wants to make you to be a bright and shining light on the hill. He wants people to come to you. You will have paparazzi. You need to get ready for people flunging you and thinking you're a god. In reality, you are, because he in you is going to be seen. They're not going to see you, but they can't understand God. They're going to go like, Brad, you're awesome. You're going like, well, I'm just a servant. I'm just doing my part. And they're going, whatever. We want you to pray for our kids. We want you to do, we want you, want you, want you, want you. You're like, hey, I'm just a man. Yeah, but we don't think so. Okay, so you won't be able to teach them how to handle you. You need to figure out, okay, what do I do? In the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas were confused. They weren't confused. People thought they came down from heaven. Yeah. And they said, the gods have come down from heaven and walk among us, among humans. This is about to happen in America. You're going to be at Walmart, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, eating your sandwich, and they're going to see you shining. And they're not going to understand it. They're going to go like, why are you glowing? Yes. And they're going to start worshiping you. Mm-hmm. They're going to start worshiping you. You're like, I'm trying to eat my Chick-fil-A sandwich. Manager. And then there's a crowd going to grow around you. And you're going to like, I'm trying to eat my sandwich. But the glory of God in you is going to be. Vroom, vroom. You're like going, could you stop shining? I'm trying to eat my sandwich. God is 24/7, right? And all of a sudden, one of these days, you're going to get used to him being there with you, and you're not going to know that he's going like, you're eating the sandwich. He's going, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. And someone's going, I think you're supposed to pray for me. Why do you believe that? Because I was supposed to come here today, and something's going to happen. I think you're the happening. And you're going like, I came here for lunch. Now, will you stay with your lunch agenda or will you go with God's agenda? It's a choice, right? And it's awkward because this is not the plan, right? I remember one time I'm in my office, my first job out of college. I'm in my little cubicle, happy to make money. This lady walks to my cubicle and starts crying, wailing. And I'm like, there's no sign saying, please enter here and cry. Share your grief with me. I'm a lover of God. I'm willing. She walks to my cube and goes, and that's not normal, right? And no one knows I'm a Christian. I'm not wearing crosses, you know. I'm not. And even if I was a Christian, you know, there's a lady wailing. So people are walking by, you know, you try to not see the issue. And my cube wall is only 4.5 feet. Yeah. They're peeking over. Look at the wailing lady, you know? And I'm like, I'm acting like I'm invisible. I'm just typing away. I'm not here. I don't know what to do. She's wailing right there. She's not saying, can I talk to you about a problem? She's wailing. And after wailing for a while, she leaves.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like,
That was it?
And I'm like going,
it was probably shining something.
I don't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I was doing. I don't have an answer for that. I do now. I'm thinking like, she saw something that I didn't see, and she thought I was there. And so we all ignored it. I mean, me, the office, we all acted like it never happened. But here's what happened later on. Later on that year, in November, during Thanksgiving, we had a Thanksgiving meal. And I'm standing there trying to forget that time that happened, and because no one talked about it. No one said, "Hey, Wally, what's going on?" It was all we all didn't know what was going on, right? Even the lady, you know. So we're at this Thanksgiving meal, and you know, it comes about 400 people, maybe 500, and we're all packed in there, and there's the director, CEO stuff. The Mr. Cochran, the owner of the company, turns to me and says, "Wally, can you lead some prayer?" And I'm like, me? First of all, I don't like to pray then or now. You know, then I was like embarrassed to pray, right? You know? And I'm thinking, why would you pick me? And I'm like employee number 308, you know. I'm way down on the totem pole, but he saw something. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it. They saw it. I'm telling you, people are going to start seeing who you really are. They may see it before you see it. I'm telling you, get ready. Because Jesus, our King, our Lord, is showing you his ways, how his operations, so that you can operate. Okay? Not so that you can talk about it, so you can do it. Mm-hmm. As proficient as he does it. What am I saying? Yeah, creating universes. Yeah, raising the dead. Yes, sending your word to healing. They're going to come to you, "Oh, my brother's sick." You're going to go, "Hold on, let me send the word." The what? Don't you got to come and lay hands? Oh, I just learned something the other day. I now can operate this way. I know of his acts, but now I know his ways. And now because I'm a friend. See, he showed his ways to Moses, his friend, those who engage with God. He's now, you guys are friends of God. And God's going to start telling you something and showing you things. The key thing is, will you do what your friend shows you when it's time? Right? People will come to you the normal way. They'll say, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And you'll go like, "Yeah, I'm listening." But all of a sudden, you'll get a prompting to do something that's not what you've seen before, not what you've read before. And you'll be like going, you'll pause and go, "What? I don't usually do this." You know? And then he's showing you his ways. If you do what he shows you to do, that's the ways of God, how he operates. He wants you to be proficient in spiritual things. Well, so-and-so's not doing that. Your father is showing you his ways for you to operate. Okay? We're learning about the fire, how to operate in the fire. It's not normal for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go in a flaming furnace and walk around like it's normal. Mm-hmm. But our guy's going like, yes, the guys that threw them in, they got burned up, right? The other humans go into the flame, they get burned up. These guys were enjoying the fire. You are about to learn how to enjoy the all-consuming God. To other people, it's like, he's scary, he's so big, he's so... You're talking about the guy that created everything? You're talking about, yeah, he's my friend. What? Y'all are tight? Oh, yeah, watch this. Ah! Right? That's what's going to happen, right? You know? You're not going to be this nicey-nicey Christian anymore. You know?
Oh, thank God.
You know? Nicey-nicey is over, right? Nicey-nicey is over. Okay? Yeah. So, this is where we are now. This is Jesus. I've come to send a fire on earth. The fire of God. And he says, blazing. You're not going to be a little match anymore. You're going to be a blazing infernal. People are going to be afraid to talk to you because they're going to see who you are.
The fear of the Lord needs to come anyway.
Yeah, they're going to see who you are. But because everything else they've tried didn't work, they're going to go against their fear and approach you anyway. I was at a meeting in San Diego. Saturday morning, this lady comes in. It was a very nice little meeting there in this person's house. A house being like this. Lady comes and sits about where you are, Gwen. And she's looking at me, and she's looking at me. And before she's like, I have a question. I go, yes, ma'am, what's your question? She holds her Bible and says, this is my Bible. I believe everything in the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? And I go, ma'am, I love the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God's my foundation. Yes. She goes, okay, good. I just wanted to find out. Yes, ma'am, okay. So I said, okay, before we start, well, I have another question. I go, yes, ma'am. She goes, are you a New Ager?
Because you have New Mystic and pray right. Those people.
So she was, I said, ma'am, I just told you I love the Word of God, but no, I'm not a New Ager. Well, good, because then she starts shaking. She's physically shaking. She's afraid to be in the room with me because she doesn't know what I'm going to do, right? And I'm looking at her, I'm thinking like, lady, if you're so afraid, leave, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at her, and she's looking at me because I said I'm not a New Ager, but she's still looking at me like, I'm in shorts, I got my fire drum here, and I'm not looking very religiously respectable. And she's the pastor's wife. So this, she's checking up on her people, right? So I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and we're just going to stare off, right? Because, you know, and so I'm going like, God, why does she hear? And the Lord says, she is so afraid to be here, but she needs something more. She overcame her fear and came and sat there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't do that. But she was desperate, right? And then I felt pity for us. Oh my gosh, God, you love her. I think you like me, you love her. You know, because he saw her faith. It took a lot for her to get up, get dressed, to come to a New Age meeting. In her mind, it's a New Age meeting.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. She came, sat there in the front row, and asked. You don't ask someone in public their new. I mean, they're bold, and she's shaking. Her, you know, like, I'm gonna go. And I watched the whole meeting, and I watched what I was saying, and I saw her just responding in a non-normal way. And she's charismatic, Vineyard, all this kind of stuff. And I'm looking at her, going like, man, okay, well, am I that? But would I go someplace where I'm afraid to go, but God said go?
Well, don't do that. What happened? Don't leave
us hanging. Well, she stayed. She stayed the meeting. She went through it. We had a luncheon like we had here, do. We chatted a little more. I went to their church Sunday. And my friend, she was the worship leader there. And she goes, can you drum with me? I go, hey, I'm not that good in front of people. I'll get up there anyway. So I'm drumming. And the Lord goes, the whole congregation, they're looking at me. My friend invited me to her city. I spoke at her house. She invited the leadership of the church, but she felt like she couldn't invite her role couldn't invite the people to church, right? Because of my little name and the books and where I was, and they're not really with that. But she invited the leadership, right? So I'm up there worshiping, and they're staring at me. I'm like, no one likes people staring at you when you're worshiping because you're trying to be one-on-one with God.
Yeah.
Like, open my eye, and they're like, and I'm like, and so the husband didn't come to the meeting, but the wife did. And I don't know what they said to each other, but they're both watching me during worship. They need to be watching God, but they're watching me, right?
Oh.
And I'm like, God, tell them to stop watching me. I'm feeling insecure, especially with my drumming, because I'm trying to drum, worship, follow the. I don't know any of the songs. I'm trying to concentrate, right? You know, and I'm like, I'm not in the spirit at all. And the Lord says, you need to stop that and stop worrying about being on rhythm, beat, and worship me. But I don't want to mess my friend up, you know. I'm performing, right? Mm-hmm. He said, you need to worship. Mm-hmm. And I go, but isn't performance important? I'm in front, you know, with my friend, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, you better worship me. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if I'm off beat, it's your fault. And you better tell Aaron. You know? And so it's not that I really did anything different, but I started thinking more about the Lord and not about following the beat and people staring at me and all that stuff, you know. And I was also there was one other black person in the room, so I was, the whole racial thing, it was all going in my head, right?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Stop thinking about that, stop thinking about your new mystic, stop thinking about that, stop, you know, and focus on me. Lord, you're asking a lot of me, right? So
yeah.
I got mostly focused, you know, had to close my eyes really tight, you know, and did that, and got through it, and then they did the meeting and stuff. After it was over, we're joining the fellowship deal, some lady in the congregation came up to me and said, I really enjoyed your worship. I was really distracted for a while, but something happened, and there was something about your worship. Well, I knew because I shifted, right? Mm-hmm. But I know that someone else would see the shift, right? People are watching you. Mm-hmm. If you start believing for the King of Glory to come out,
yes.
He's going to start coming out.
Yeah.
And he's not going to come out when you think he comes out. He's going to come out his way, right? Mm-hmm. So again, we're learning his ways. The more you learn his ways, the more you'll agree with his ways, then he'll have his way.
Yes, Lord.
Follow that? Mm-hmm. The more we learn his ways, we'll agree with his ways, then he'll have his way. Okay? It's this process thing. Are you on board with the process? Don't say anything because it's a daily test. You know, you'll be daily a part, you know. And it's not like God, I mean, he will say do certain things, right? And they won't be big things. They won't be like, go to the top of the Empire State Building and jump off. It's none of that stuff. It'll be like, when you're at Kroger or whatever you stores you got in here, buy this thing, not that thing. You're like going, it's the same product. Don't get in your head. Just do what he says. As you start learning the little things of obedience, it's easier to do the big things.
Yeah.
Okay? Again, learning his ways, agreeing with his ways, then he will have his way. Okay, it's very simple. I don't know where they came from, but I like it. Mm-hmm. But it's about his operations, how to operate in the spirit. Some of us are very good at operating in the natural that works there, but we're now different. When we were pulling down heaven thingy, this is operating in the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. How do we do this, not with the hand movements, how do we do this when we're in at your hair place? How do you impart the life of God? How do you shower the glory of God over someone where you're going, snip, snip, snip. How's your baby, right? How can you let his ways immerse someone that's in front of you? That's what his ways will do. You do nothing, but you inside of you, you're letting him have his way. Mm-hmm. Now, what does it look like? I don't know. But we're going to learn not to be afraid of what he wants to do, okay?
Can I just see the
Yeah.
It's such an interesting tension because... Like, I mean, just thinking about Gwen, because it's easier to think about her than me. Well, like, you know, if you're there and you're, you know, working with a person, there's so many things going on in your mind
Yep.
where you're, you know, I'm sure, you know, she's thinking about whatever it is. Like, say the person came in before, maybe didn't like the style that she did, and she's making a tweak on it, so she's thinking about the tweak, and she's thinking about the things that they've said in the past, their relationship, and she's trying to stay out of that and into Jesus
right.
while she's trying to minister to this person, literally.
Yep.
And so it's like there's so much going on, and how to get out of the real and into the invisible
yep.
is such, there's so much tension in that place, and it's like, it's what's really interesting, like here's an example of what happened to me yesterday. I have this friend who's very vulnerable, and we had a schedule with her for dinner, and I thought it was tonight, but it was actually last night. And she sent me a text yesterday during all this amazing thing that God was doing that was, I've been cooking for hours, and I'm so sorry that you're not coming. And I mean, I don't want to fail this person because I know that she's very vulnerable. And so I'm like, apologize, you know, I ask her to forgive me. But it was just this tension that I find myself in where it's like, okay, this is what's real, and I want to reach out to this person and be honest, and then I'm not going to grovel because I was where I needed to be. You know,
right.
So it's just, do you understand my question?
So it's this is life,
yeah.
Right?
Yes,
and,
it is. Why? Because I don't love people every day.
No. Here we're talking about. This is life, right? Galatians 2:20 says, the life we now live. We lived a way before. The life we now live, we live by faith. What does that really mean? So it really isn't about you.
Faith, yeah.
So the thing is, it's not about us anymore. It's not about how eloquent I can be to answer any of your questions. Mm-hmm. It's about, hey, God, you heard her question. What do you want to say to her? How does Wally Johnson right now, in this very moment, answer that question. I can answer it from my head, from my experiences, mm-hmm. from the Bible scriptures I know, or I can go tap into the Holy Spirit. I'm learning every time I teach how to answer from here versus here. Now, I've been doing this on purpose for about a solid a year and a half, okay? But I'm 55 years old. So for 54 of those years, I know how to answer from here, right? I'm learning how to let him have his way, right? And so the first time it's kind of like I go, hey, I could get back to you. And I'd have to go pray for 3 hours. And pray means get through who I am, what she's going to think, what my dad's going to think. That was praying, was getting through all the mess. It would take me days to get to the mess, to get to where I think this is God's answer. And I call you up. Hey, remember the thing you asked me about 3 days ago? I've got an answer now, right? And I'm thinking, so, but I don't, it doesn't take me 3 days anymore. Because I'm now knowing who I am. I'm learning his ways, agreeing his ways, and then letting him have his way. That's not instantaneous. It's a process, right? If you know, in the process, some people think, oh my gosh, that person is more important than me because I don't love myself, I love them. So now you're trying to serve everybody and you feel bad because you didn't do the dinner thing because of who they are. Blah, blah, blah. They've been hurt by 3 million people. Now it's 3 million and one. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's like I'm on their list. So that's all about you.
Right.
You have no idea about what God's done for the person in the future, in the past. You have not tapped into them to figure out what's really going on. But that doesn't happen in 1 minute. It takes time to go, okay, Father, yeah, I'm a person of my word. I broke my word. Okay, you know that. So, okay. So how do we not do that again? But what do you want to do with this lady? Am I supposed to be in her life? I know I'm working in her life, but am I supposed to be more in her life? Do you want to show me something? Am I supposed to give her something? What's going on here? What do I need to do? Because it's not about me, it's about you. What do you want to do through me? That's the question. Back in the day with that bracelet, what would Jesus do now? That was good, but what do you do now with Jesus in you? That's a whole different question, right? And do you see yourselves as God sees you? That's the first step. A lot of us don't, right? Do you see yourself as having the mind of Christ where he has an answer for everything? I now see that because I know he's dwelling with me. He's not separate from me. He made himself one with me. I didn't perform it, but I need to yield my brain to his deal. Mm-hmm. It's taken me years to get to where I'm starting to get back to you. And when I used to teach 10 years ago, I never let people ask questions while I taught. Because I get derailed, and I'd be on a bunny trail, I'd be confused. I wouldn't share what I did. I'd be like, it was about me. Now, in this time, in 2017, I'm like, where do you want to go? It's not my meeting. Mm-hmm. It used to be my meeting, and I had to control it. Mm-hmm. I'm learning how he can control a meeting. I have people, to this day, my first tape on my iPod deal, is a person who's asking all kind of questions. Every time I say a word, she goes, other question. To this day, they go, hey, in that first message, why didn't you shut her up? That's what they say. I'm learning that it's his meeting. Mm-hmm. If a lady wants to ask about stuff, mm-hmm. it's not my meeting. I now know that God can go zip if he wants mm-hmm. to. I'm learning not to be the one in control. Mm-hmm. I'm learning that he's able to control.
Speaking of control, with that point, I know in my life and even in our ministry life, there's been people and even family that have gotten in the way. I've allowed them to. Gotten in the way of what God wants me to do. But that's what that is control.
Yeah.
That person is trying to control you.
But in you, the bigger deal, it's like, on authority. I used to think since I was saved, my parents weren't saved, that then I would have better thoughts, right? But I learned that God works through authority. So when I dropped out of school, Oklahoma, and lived at home, and was still pursuing God, I thought I knew what God would do, and I was pursuing God. But then I learned that God was going to use my non-spirit-filled, non-believing parents. I don't understand how that works, but I was yielding my role to God to work through anyone he wanted to. Very hard. And I'm like going, so I wanted to go back to Oklahoma, but my parents, and I told them, I believe God's going to speak through you. They're like, what? I said, yeah, that's what I believe in. And I was making true I was drawing the line. It's not about what I think is right. God's going to speak to you. And they were like going, wow, okay. We think you should go with us to Alabama. I was like, what? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I'm believing God. Okay, wow. I moved to Alabama. If I had done what I wanted to do, I would not know how to prophesy. I would not know how to lay hands on the sick. I would not have known a lot of stuff. Because the church that we moved to in Alabama, I grew up, my first pastor was there. All this stuff happened because I submitted to my non-godly parents. Mm-hmm. Because I was submitting to a higher authority, they were higher than my parents, right? And it's weird because I'm a very much control thing, you know, and I'm like going, I'm giving control to my parents who don't know anything. But I was learning to trust God who was bigger than me, bigger than my parents, bigger than the situation. But in my mind's eye, I was like, how can he do this? This is a learned thing. Some people, I don't know how they do it. They just like, they trust God. I'm like, I don't know. What about this situation? I'm a little smarter here. I'm on Earth. He's someplace doing something. I've got this one. I'm learning to give them more and more things over, right? It's an individual process, right? But it comes out of your relationship, right? If you spend time talking to the Lord about all the little things going on, he'll give you his view on all the little things. If you don't talk about the little things with him, then you still have your view, and he has his way, and then it's not merging, right? So what does that mean? How much time do I have to spend with God? How much God do you want? Well, I want a lot. Okay, spend a lot of time. But I got a family and kids. Enoch had a family and kids and walked with God.
He did?
Yeah. He wasn't this little guy on a hill, you know. He had a wife and a bunch of kids.
Yeah. He did. Yeah, they had like 5 wives and the men didn't do nothing.
Well, no, anyway.
Was his grandson.
Methuselah's one of the grandkids.
Okay.
They're related. But no, and this was pre a bunch of wives.
Yeah. You know,
this is one wife, bunch of kids.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, we have all these excuses,
yeah.
But they're just excuses. Yeah. But the simple thing is, if you want more of God, you can have all of God that you want. How much do you want? And your lifestyle determines what you want. All your priorities. Where do you spend your time? You know.
Come on, Lord.
So,
preach.
Again, I believe in this season and definitely in this session, it's about he wants to share his ways. Mm-hmm. How you are to operate in the Spirit. Not watch God operate in the Spirit. Okay? So, before, we were like, what? God likes us? Well, not only does he like you, he wants to show you how to be like him. Oh, I'm not ready for that. He's ready for that. Hear the difference. He's ready to show you his ways. Are you ready to be shown his ways? And we're going, I'm thinking about that because we want to count the cost.
There's a cost.
But if you're in friendship, you don't count the cost. You go, yes, Lord. And he showed you something and you're not thinking about what's my mom going to think, what's my husband going to think, what's my daughter going to think, what's my friends going to think, what's my neighbors going to think. All that, if they're that important to you, and they're more important than God, then that's an issue.
Yeah, that's preachable.
Right? That's why Jesus said, you'll hate your mother and father. He didn't mean hate, but in comparison to, yeah. It's like God first, everybody else way down below. Right? Wally, that would mess up my social circle. Yep. That would change my Facebook. Yep. Right? I mean, there's implications, right? But what do you want? Do you want the whole world or you want God?
Forgive me, Wally. I remember something just now when you were saying you were going to go to New Zealand. I was saying, are you sure you want to go? I was being used by putting doubts. It didn't work, did it? Do you remember me saying that?
Yeah,
did more
yeah.
people say that to you?
Yeah.
You shouldn't go. I said, are you sure you're supposed to go? Something, leave your wife. I don't know. Something like that.
Anyway, and again, yeah. Well, I did not. I did listen.
Wait, you listened to the right voice.
Yes.
No, I listened. But again, when people, well, anyway, so so with the ear of okay, so my life is about learning how to walk with God, because I can stay in the sidelines and be a spectator and just enjoy His activity, or I can learn His ways from His friendship. So with that mindset, listen to the rest of this, right? Okay. Again, back to the original scripture, Luke 12:49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was kindled. So my question was, why did He come to send fire on the earth? Any verse you read, anything you see, you're allowed to ask your Creator God, the Almighty, what's going on? Because every question is a opportunity for engagement. You're not challenging. He loves that kind of challenge. Okay? He's not intimidated. Why are you asking that? Now, I may be intimidated. You may be intimidated by questions from people. But God never is. In that culture, in the Hebraic culture, if a good argument means you love me. Okay? A good interaction, a heated debate means you love me. I went to a Jewish you read a book together, it was a book group, right? I was, my friend, husband was Jewish, and it was their night, and I was staying in their house, so I came with them. So I had never been in a group of Jewish group before. They fought all night long, and then they hugged each other. I was like, I was like, what is that? And we got in the car, drove, I'm going in the back, going, like, oh, I gotta pray. Oh. And he goes, wasn't that awesome? I don't know, was it awesome? And they went, oh, my bad. See, this is how we show love. We're fully, every emotion, fully engaged. Yeah. And I went, really? This is good? Yeah, this is good. So I'm thinking, So God picked the Jewish culture for a reason. There's lots of things in there you can glean, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not afraid to ask you something. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to ask you something, you know? But God's not afraid of your questions, so don't be afraid of what God's going to say. Mm-hmm. So people are not, the Jewish people, they're not afraid of what you're going to say back to me. That means you love me, mm-hmm. right? They know that. I didn't know that. I'm thinking, wow, that group is very dysfunctional and very divisive. And man, I wouldn't go there. But that was love. They were interactive fully. They weren't holding anything back. Right? What do we do at church? Face. Hi, how are you doing? Great. How are you doing? Great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Facade. In the Jewish culture, this is not allowed. It's not even thought of. If you're feeling horrible, I'm feeling horrible. And you should feel horrible too. And the other guy goes, I don't feel horrible. And they do that. And I'm like going, they're free. They're not playing a game, right? So I'm like, well, I can't handle that all the time. There's 24/7 like that, you know? I'm like, well, I need a break, you know? So anyway, the question, why did he come and send the fire on earth? So I asked the Lord this question. I got two answers. And I'm going to share those with you, right? The first answer was this. 1 Chronicles 21:26. And it says, and David built there an altar to the Lord. Well, of course, David builds altars all the time because he likes God. He's an altar builder, lover of God, matter of God's heart. Go ahead, David, build an altar. And he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and he called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offerings. So I'm reading this scripture, and I'm going like, okay, David, an altar, and then God answers by fire. I thought, is Jesus come to earth to build an altar so that God will respond by fire? So I believe when he said that, Jesus had a mission. If you will fulfill your mission, God will answer it. In Mark, the last book in Mark, not the last verse, it says that God confirms his word with signs following. If you will do your part, God will confirm it by answering with fire from heaven. What is fire? Who is fire?
God.
So do you want you to back up your word, or do you want him to back up your word? What do you want? You can answer out loud.
Well,
huh?
God.
Yeah, I mean, that's the answer. So there's one thing for Wally to say, hey, try this out, it'll work. There's another thing for try this out and let God back up what he told me to do. A lot of our testimonies are so weak, people can't, they go, well, that your lifestyle is just normal. I can do that too. But if your life is backed by supernatural, unexplainable, weird stuff, then God is backing up your life. When I was in high school and college, I'd be doing stuff. My parents would be like, why are you doing that? I didn't have a teaching. I was just kind of doing stuff, you know. And they go, that's weird, that's weird, that's weird, that's weird, that's weird. I go, yeah, yeah. And then one day, this lady came. I forget why she's at my mom and dad's house. But this lady, somehow, she meets my mom at our house. And somehow the lady finds out that this is my mom. And she's telling my mom about stuff I do at church, right? I come home, and mom's like, some lady told me that you can heal the sick.
Oh, Lord.
And you help people all the time, doing some stuff. Yeah. So I didn't back me up. Some lady out of nowhere shared testimonies, which... stuff that God was doing through me, right? So you don't have to explain stuff. You just got to do stuff. So don't worry about explaining things. Just do what your father's asking you to do and let him explain it, okay? My dad, when I first got my first real check, real job, dad said, look, let's sit down and work out your budget, right? And he's working out, and I wrote down there, tithe. He goes, what's that for? Well, we do that. Well, where'd the money go? I don't know where it actually really goes. I just envelope, they pick it up, and I don't know. I go, that's a waste of money. I'm gonna do it anyway. And so I had no answer for why I was doing a God thing, right? A few years later, changed jobs, and sat down with Dad again, did my budget. We got down the little line about tithe. Are you still doing that? Yeah. Why? Now, 3 or 4 years had gone by, right? Didn't have a real answer, but I said this. Well, Dad, all I know is, you know, most of my life, when I get a job, I get a little bit of money, you know, and I give stuff. But I've noticed all of my life that I've given every different job is gone to either higher quality job or higher paying job. And every year. And so I've been doing this tithing thing, you know, and I don't know where the money goes, but I'm making more and more money each year. And I only have a bachelor's degree. And, Dad, aren't you a lieutenant colonel, retired, and you have your master's? Yes, sir, I am. He didn't say sir to me. He goes, yes, I am. I said, well, Dad, I can't explain it, but I make more money than you do. I have less experience, less contacts, but I make more money. I said, can you explain that? So that's, he's never, ever asked me again about tithing. And all I said was, all I know is this has happened. This is how I didn't say I trust God, but I said, I did this because I believe I'm supposed to do it. Boom, 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 boom. And now I make more money than you do. And I have less credentials, da-da-da-da. Case closed. Will you let his ways answer for you? Or will you stay natural? Will you stay acceptable? I'm telling you, where he's taking us, you can hide for a while, but when he has you floating over the city and they go, is that Gwen?
Come on, people.
You know? You know, what do you do when you're walking at Walmart? Did I see you fly in the city? Maybe. I don't know. Did you see me? Why were you doing that? I don't know. I was just doing it. Who do you think you are? I'm not sure, but it was sure fun flying over the city. I don't think you're supposed to fly the city. Well, that's what you think. I'm thinking differently. Well, does your church sanction you flying over the city? No, they don't. What's your pastor say about that? Well, I don't know. I really don't I what do you mean you don't go to church? I I'm sorry. You now know all I have. I fly. Next question. Well, are you supposed to? I think so. Can I fly? I think you can. Right now? I'm not sure. I was wearing a Superman shirt 4 or 5 months ago, and I was at some restaurant or something, and I walk up, and usually it's like, do you like DC? Did you see the movie? This guy says, I wasn't ready for this, because I wear this up to remind me that I'm not human, right? And so this guy sees me, and he says, did you fly here today? I said, yes. He says, can you fly me around? I go, yes. And I didn't back off it at all. Now, he didn't say, let's go and fly. Now, if he'd have said that, I'd be like, God! But what I'm saying is, when you start identifying with the Lord, there will be pushback. Mm-hmm. Okay? When Jesus started identifying with his Father, they said, we love your teaching. The reason we're going to stone you is because you're saying he's your father. Mm-hmm. Okay. Religious people who don't know God as their father will stone you also. Mm-hmm. They'll stone you with words. They'll stone you with rejection. They'll backbite you. But what do you want to do? Do you want to deny your father or deny them? I mean, who are you going to, you got to deny something, you know, like, look, I'm not denying my father and I don't like this pressure. But I gotta stay with them, right? So you can get ready for that. I love people. I like to be liked. I'm learning that my wanting to know the love of the Father for me is better and stronger and better for me than the love and the cheers from people, right? I'm learning that. I'm still not fully free, you know. My first Skype teaching. So I didn't think that you could teach via Skype. I thought it was ineffective. And so all these people were like, you need to teach. Because I was sharing a lot of things on Facebook, just looking at one-liners and stuff. And then, you should teach. I thought, this is to me is teaching. This is real, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did, they asked me to do a Skype teaching. And I rolled my eyes, I said, okay. And then when I did it, I thought, oh my God, this is real. God can still touch people via media, and the word of God can go forth. So I was really excited that now I was obedient to my calling and gifting, because I wasn't doing what I was gifted to do for a long time. So I was back. So I was very excited. I remember I was at the kitchen table, and I turned this way. I didn't see the Lord, but I thought he was there. And I wanted a high five. So it's just me, you know. Some of y'all want hugs. I wanted a high five. And I said, yeah, it was great. And I felt like he was displeased with me. And I thought, oh no, what did I do wrong, right? And I thought that in my head, what did I do wrong? I was reminded in the message, there was one thing that I said the right words, I said it the wrong way. I kind of watered it down a little bit in the delivery, and it came right to my mind. And I said to myself, Lord, if I had said it your way, they may not come back next Saturday to my teaching. And in my head, the Lord said, the message isn't for you, it's for me. You need to do what I say. And then I realized right then, I was more prone to please people than please God. I was a people pleaser. Oh no, you know. And so I'm learning that I need to be pleasing the Lord and deliver his way, make him happy. It doesn't matter if you guys are happy or not, right? And I'm still on that journey, right? Because I look at your faces, I love this. Oh, it's great. Sometimes I'll say something, I'll look down, and because I don't want to see your faces, because the face thing affects me still. Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, I was just being real. So I believe one of the reasons that Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth, he was actually building an altar. He was wanting Father to respond. Okay. And this goes with the part B. So we know the story in 1 Kings. So I believe that Jesus, through you, wants to do a work, an operation, so the king will answer from heaven. He's going to respond by his presence on your life, around your life, everything. As you walk with him, there'll be an immediate response. He's there. He's there. He's there. When someone says, you know, something, you won't give your normal answer. You'll give your Father's answer.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'll say, where'd you get that from? You'll go, inside. Inside what? My inner man? Your what? Well, anyway, just do that. You know? Because don't get caught up in having to explain how you and God operate. Because that's, you know, that's a lot. That's deep, right? Just whatever. Here's the answer I got for you. Do it or don't do it. And just whatever, you know. In 1 Kings 18, 21 through 24, Elijah says, Elijah came near all the people and said, how long will you halt and limp between two opinions? See, when you're not serving God, when you're not, sometimes we get to where I'll just kind of wait on the Lord and I'll wait for him to do something. And this says here, how long will you stop looking at two things? Like, well, there's God's way, there's this king's way, there's this deal. And they're just like playing the game of not going to do anything. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. So they're like going, yeah, we don't want to make a decision. You know, and this isn't good enough. So they went on. Then Elijah said to the people, I am only one as a prophet of the Lord. That wasn't true. Baal's got prophets, 450 men. So it's one against 450. Verse 23, he lays a game out here. Let two bulls be given us. Let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will dress the other bull, lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. Then you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of my Lord, and the one who answers by fire, let him be God. Now, all the people said, all right, I like that. I need to see something. Everyone around you need to see something. And God wants to show something. Will you cooperate? Let me say it again. Everyone around you wants to see something. Older generations, younger generations, they want to see something. They're tired of talking. They're tired of you running your mouth. They're tired of your bumper stickers. They're tired of your t-shirts. They're tired of your pointed finger. They're tired of your lifestyle. They want to see something. The people said, all right, it is well spoken. We will respond to the God who answers by fire. So God's going, will you be my altar? Will you live in such a way that I can show myself strong to the masses, to the little old lady, to the pharmacist, to the doctor, to your coworker? What do I got to do? You need just to agree with him. This isn't going about making signs. This isn't going to D.C. and doing a million men march. This is doing whatever he tells you to do. And whatever he tells you to do, you can do. Okay? You can't do everything you think of, but everything he tells you to do, you can do. Okay? And so they did this thing, right? We're living the same day of people want to see something, right? They don't want to see you. So this is not about you. They're like, hey, God, they want to see you. All right, will we cooperate? Whoa, I thought it was about you. Yep, I need you. Okay. And that's the tension. That's the real tension. How do I be there but show God? By love and obedience. If you do what he says, you'll be out of the way and they'll see him. But I don't understand how this is going to work. Don't try to understand how this is going to work. Just do what he's doing. He has a plan. You know, like A-team. I love when the plan works, comes together, right? God has a plan, but part of the plan is you. Just because you don't see how it works doesn't mean you shouldn't partake. This is the faith part. You know, I get into analyzing. So you're saying, if I go to Lynchburg and talk on a scripture that I don't know, it'll work out? I don't see it. But you're saying, if I go to Lynchburg, talk on a scripture I don't know, it's going to work out. And I should buy their shirt? I don't understand. Just buy the shirt. Do this, do that, do that. And the more that I do what he says, the more I learn to trust him the next weird thing or normal thing he asks me to do. Right? And so it's just following the leader. Son, if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. It's follow the leader. Don't make it complicated. Don't deal with Wally. So if I do that, what does that mean is going to happen next? You know? We just got to do stuff, right? And this is how you get some cool testimonies. This is how you get some stories, by doing the things that doesn't seem right to me, right? The way I got to New Zealand started a year earlier. A friend of mine invited me to a worship conference. I had said no to him all these years, but now I had some time, so I finally went to this worship conference. And it's up the road here. And they have it every 2 years. And so...
up the road where?
Up I-81. It's, I don't know, 30 miles from here, this conference.
Southwest Virginia, Roanoke?
No.
North or south?
North of here.
Okay.
Where's that way? Charlesfield?
Anyway.
Going towards Charlesfield.
Yeah, okay.
It's Edinburgh. Edinburgh is where the place was. Okay. So, no, it's Virginia.
Virginia?
Yeah, it's off of 81 up here. Okay. Anyway, so they go to the conference, and I've only been to this church, it'll be the third time, so I go to the church, and the last time I was there, you know, the worship guy said, hey, you know, you need to, whenever you come, you know, you'd be part of the worship team. Okay. That's nice, thank you. But this time it's a conference, it's an international worship symposium, and Steve Swanson's there, and Joel McFadder's there, and I'm like, well, I can't get on stage with them, because I've gone to conferences with Joanne, and Joanne's like, I'm recording, so I'm going to work with the worship team, so don't bring your drum in here. So I leave my drum in the car, or whatever, right? So I come to this conference. Now I have my drum in the car, because it's used as where it is, and I go the first night, and did the whole thing, and cool conference. They had a meal after every session, right? So I'm sitting there eating my meal, and the pastor comes up to me and says hi to me on the way to the table, you know, where the guests are, or this pastor. But on the way there, she stops and says, "Wally." So I'm just happy she remembers my name, you know. So this is my third time at our church. It wasn't like third time in a row, but like, you know, over a year, right? She says, "Wally, how are you?" I go, "Fine. Wonderful conference. Thank you for having it. And I love the food." She says, "Wally, I didn't see you playing your drum." I said, "No, ma'am. I was on row 13, and it's in the car." And she looked at me. She goes, "Let me make this perfectly clear." She pointed her finger. "When you come to my church, you will play your drum. Do you understand me?" "Yes, ma'am." She walks away. So she rebuked me. I was like, so the next morning, I'm on stage way early, a little drunk, saying, "Hi. Oh, hi, Joanne. Hi, Steve Swanson."
Yeah, and really?
Yeah, I'm worshiping with Joanne McFadden, Steve Swanson.
And she didn't tell you to leave?
No, because the pastor of the church said, "Get your butt up there." I'm like going, someone asked me why I'm up here. I'm ready. Yeah. Same thing with you guys. When God tells you to do something, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, right? I'm looking at everybody. Looking.
No.
Give me all the eye. But I'm telling you, so anyway, so because of, so anyway, so I'm now on stage, right, doing my little drum thing. And a few days goes by, and one of the guest speakers says, "I need a prophet." I'm thinking, you don't ask for that in the middle of a bunch of crazy believing people. So I'm thinking, like, do I raise my hand? I prophesy, you know. But only three people raise their hand. I'm thinking, how do you pick the right one, you know? And she picks this guy, and the guy says, he gives this prophecy that says, "Tonight, when you go to bed, everyone in the room is going to have an angelic encounter." I'm thinking, dude, you can't see everyone. I mean, I'm thinking, everyone? Now, I don't care about everyone, because I'm the prophet guy. I'm staying at his house for the conference. So I'm thinking, whatever, I'm getting an angel because I'm staying at his house. You know? So I can't wait to go home, to his home, and lay down and sleep and have my angelic encounter. And plus, since I wrote a book on angels, I'm doubly going to have this, because I believe the rest of the congregation, whatever, I'm getting my angel encounter right. I'm in the house, I'm sleeping, the master bedroom's there, and mine was the next bedroom. So I'm in proximity to the prophet. Yeah. So this is all set up for me, right? And so I go to bed, it was Saturday night, I go to bed, waiting for my encounter. I wake up, I always need an alarm clock. I don't wake up morning. I don't. I need an alarm clock that goes off several times, right? But this Sunday morning, I wake up an hour before my alarm clock. I've lost an hour of sleep. Now, when I want to sleep, I want to sleep my full time, right? So I wake up an hour before my alarm clock, I look at my watch, and I'm going, what? And then I'm now extra mad because I have not had my angelic encounter. So I'm mad on two levels. One, I'd woke up an hour before I need my beauty sleep, whatever. Two, my angelic encounter did not occur. I'm about to go in his bedroom with him and his wife and go, hey, where's my angel?
Oh, Lord.
You promised. So that's my first thought, you know.
Jump about
I thought, well, that's probably wrong because, you know, I don't know them that well. And so, but I'm thinking it, right? And I'm thinking like, I'm Wally Johnson. I wrote a book on angels. Where's my angel? I believe this stuff. So I'm supposed to have this. And so then I'm sitting there on the air mattress going, I'm mad that I'm up an hour early. And I'm mad that I haven't had an angel encounter. So most people would just be mad and have a bad day, right? Mm-hmm. Well, so I go. Then also I remember something that someone said in the conference. They said, the kingdom of God is voice activated. And I said, like, wait a minute, I've taught that before. So I said, okay. Since I remembered that, so that dropped in my head, I'm going to use that, right? And I said, all right, angel, here's the deal. I'm going to go in the bathroom and shave, because I was in the house, there was the family there. They were also hosting a couple and a guy, so we only had one bathroom. Okay, so I thought since there's one bathroom, since I'm up an hour early, even though I'm not supposed to, you know, I'll go do the bathroom thing, shave and whatever, and I'll come back, and I'll have like 45 minutes to sleep, right?
Going up again.
And so, I do the shaving thing, I get back in the bed, and I tell the angel, I say, hey, I have my encounter, I got 45 minutes, right? I lay down, go to sleep, and sure enough, I go into a dream, and in the dream, I'm standing at the base of a mountain, and an angel appeared next to me and says, hi. I go, good, here we go. And the angel says, as we climb the mountain, I hear music. And the music was from the worship conference and from songs I heard, but there was other music. And I'm thinking that, and I go, and the angel says, yes, that's music from the conference and some heavenly music. And those were helping you travel up the mountain. Oh, that's good. So then we get further up the mountain, and then my alarm goes off. I'm like, oh, stupid alarms, you know? So then I come out, I wake up, and I'm like, man. Then I go, oh, no! In my book, I talk about when you have an angel encounter, you need to ask the angel's name and their purpose. And I didn't do what I knew to do. So I'm like, oh, I'm mad again, right? And I go, wait a minute. And something else I know, I can go back into a dream. I believe this, and I believe it too. So I lay down real quick. I go back in the dream. I'm back at the dream, and I'm at the foot of the mountain. I turn the angel and go, what's your name, and what's your purpose? Okay. Angel says, my name is Travel. I'm here to help you travel in the natural and the spirit. I go, thank you. I wake up, and I come back out, and I write it down. So now I write down the whole thing. So when I write down in my journal, I'm thinking, do I put this in my journal for me? Or do I give a copy to the pastor, right? And I decide to give a copy to the pastor. Now, I don't know if she's going to read it out, but this is, the guy said, an angelic encounter, this is that. And so, and I don't know why I didn't give it to him. I gave it to the pastor because he's over the church, right? I give it to her. She doesn't mention anything about it. And so that was on a Sunday, I had the deal, right? Then on Wednesday, I have an interview. Remember, the angel's name was Travel. Help me travel, right? In the spirit of the natural. So then on that Wednesday, I had an interview. I was working, but I had an interview for another project within the company. The conversation was like this. Well, it's in San Jose. Do you mind traveling over there? No, I don't mind traveling. Well, some people have a problem with travel. Do you have a problem with travel? No, I have no problem with travel. Mm-hmm. We said travel 13 times. I'm not thinking about the angel I just met named Travel. I'm thinking, that's odd, right? I get the traveling job, okay? It ends up that over the next, so in that year, I had all this travel stuff going on, right? So I traveled to San Jose, right? I remember the angels helped me travel that great flight, Get to San Jose, do this. 3 days later, my wife breaks her arm very badly on a horse stealing, right? And so I go to the airport, I call my boss, and say, hey, I need to travel back to Virginia because my wife broke her arm. Go to the airport, and I'm waiting in line. I go up to the counter, the lady says, she looks around and goes, you need to sign right here. I'm not signing anything. And why do I got to sign? What about all these other people? She looks at, you should sign right here for another ticket. It's real quick. I go, what about him? He shouldn't sign, but you should sign. I'm like, what about her? No, you should sign. I'm like, this is weird. She's smiling. Sign right here. It's good for you. So I sign there. And she says, okay, good. Go over there. I go, okay. And I'm like, so then all the people board the plane. And she goes, oh, I know you signed here, but we don't need you. So go get a seat. I said, what? I'm going down the flight daily, you know. Mr. Johnson, Ms. Johnson. Yes, what? We need your seat. I got back. And so I'm like, what? So in the course of a year, they gave me a travel voucher for $750. I'd never gotten a travel voucher for $750. I've gotten travels for $250, $200, but never $750. Right? So now I had a voucher in my hand. And I remember travel will help you travel in the natural and supernatural. I got a $750 travel. A month later, I got another one for $800. I'm like going, what am I going to do with $1,500 for traveling? And I remember, Wally, did you want to travel the nations? Mm-hmm. Oh. Now, at this time, I was now, after the international Bible study, I was teaching an international Bible study only for international people. Okay. I was teaching South Africans, right? And I was believing to go to the nations. Also, now I have $1,500 only I can use for travel. Right, so when the Lord last year told me to go to New Zealand, I couldn't say I don't have the means to get there because travel. So my plane ticket cost me only $100 to go to New Zealand.
Oh my God.
And the $100 was because this drum needed to go, because it was $100 to move 2 pieces of luggage. Right. So what I'm saying is there's operations in the spirit that we need to learn thereof. Right. And when God says something, there's for a bigger reason. So in January of last year, when he said, I want you to go to New Zealand and be a son of God, I was like going, I'm sorry, New Zealand? I thought I was going to South Africa. You know, New Zealand, Ian Clayton's in New Zealand. I don't need to go there. We can rational, right? And even Grant Mahoney's there. So you got all these guys already there. And doesn't make sense to me, right? I couldn't say I can't afford it because I had this, so I couldn't use the excuse. So then I go, okay, well, whatever. What do you mean by be a son of God? He goes, well, it's on your business card. I go, that's just to be cute. That doesn't mean anything. It's just, I don't like being labeled a Christian because I believe labeling a Christian actually limits you, okay? Because people go, Christians are nicey nice people. I want to be a powerful son of God. Okay, so. That's why on my card says son of God, not believer, not whatever. So I'm going, well, God, how do I be a son of God in New Zealand? He says, well, just be. I wanted a step-by-step pamphlet, and he didn't give it to me. He says, just go be one. I'm like, so because I couldn't understand that, I thought, well, that's not God, and so I ignored it. But throughout the year, things got clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. Now, I knew no one there. I knew Ian Clayton there, but I wasn't going, hi, Ian, I'm coming to New Zealand. I didn't think I was supposed to go there for a conference or to meet some people, right? I thought I was supposed to go there to be a son of God, whatever that meant. You know? And so I didn't try to go to Ian conference or Grant conference or any conference. I thought I was supposed to go there and do something, right? So, but I knew no one there. And I wasn't going to go, like, I thought, well, I'm going to go to New Zealand. Worst case, I'm getting on a bus and just travel down the country, you know. And so I looked into that. And then early in the summertime, I went to Nancy Cohen in February of last year in Texas. And on the way there, I was looking at people who were going, and I saw, clicked on Leigh's page, and she had met Nancy in New Zealand. She had all these New Zealand pictures. So I went to her Facebook page, and I was just looking at all these pictures and stuff on her page. And I thought, oh, when I go to the same conference, I need to probably meet this lady, right? And so the next day, the day after I'm looking at this lady's page, the next day this lady sends me a friend request.
Oh.
I'm thinking, like, did she know I was on her page? It was really kind of weird. I was like, how'd she know? I didn't say anything on her page, you know? Yeah, I know. I was like, ooh. And it's, I don't know. So, she has her picture on her Facebook page. I don't have my picture on my Facebook page, right? So, I get to the conference. I see her. She looks just like her picture, right? So, I go up to her to tap her on the shoulder to say, hey, thanks for the friend request. I'm the guy that you stepped in. And I'm going to say, can we have lunch during this time? Because I want to learn more about New Zealand. Because I'm going to go over there. So, I have my speech ready. So, I tap her with my speech ready. She pivots. She goes, oh my gosh! She hugs me and crushes me almost. You know, I'm not strong, but she's and she whispers in my ear and she says, "You remind me of my New Zealand friends." I'm like, I've not mentioned it. My speech is ready, but I haven't given my speech yet. And she whispers in my ear, "You remind me of my New Zealand brothers." And then we let go, and I look at her and go, "How do you know that?" So throughout the months, he got me more and more confirmed. You know. But still, I didn't know anyone there. She didn't tell me about anyone. We didn't do the lunch thingy. It was just those words in my ears. So then I spoke in Seattle. And the Lord said, do not make your flight arrangements until you go to Seattle. So I'm thinking, oh, that means that I go to Seattle, I'm going to meet someone who knows someone, then I'll have some contacts there. So I always try to second guess, guy. Y'all don't do that because you just trust and obey. Go to Seattle. No one knows anything about New Zealand. And I'm like, they know no one in New Zealand. I'm like, oh, wow. So I'm thinking it's a waste of time. So I'm going to post the one or two or three of these messages online. I post them online, and I didn't know it, but I have a friend who's been listening all my podcasts in New Zealand. Somehow she hears that I'm going to come to New Zealand for my podcast, but I don't remember saying that on my podcast. But she sends me a message and says, please come to the South Island. And last summer, I didn't know there was a South Island. I thought there was just one island. It was the North Island and the South Island. Please come to the South Island. No one comes here. We'd love to have you. If you fly into North Island, we'll fly you down here. This is late. I don't know her. I mean, she knows me, but I don't know her. And so that's how I got to New Zealand, by following little voices in my head, doing what I was supposed to do, and it all came together. So in June, I had no place to go. When I got to November, I had a house meeting. Then a meeting, then a pastor said, come down to Dunedin, and I got meetings in the North Island. Pretty much, I spoke every day that I was there.
Wow.
Without knowing anyone there, right? So if you, he wants to show off how awesome he is, right?
Yes, he does.
And he wants you to be in agreement with his operations, because he wants to work with you and through you and shine brighter than you. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, he wants your cooperation, because he's a good friend. He doesn't want to abuse you or use you. He wants to work with you. But you have to embrace the fire, right? And you have to understand his operations, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that in Matthew 16, Jesus said that he was going to build his church, right? And his church, I believe, is the altar that the fire needs to come upon. Not a man-made structure, but a structure not made by human hands, but something that's in John 3 says, you must be born from above, okay? Born again, born out of his hands, right? So the fire part, we know that the church in Acts chapter 2, there were flames of fire on them, right? The fire is needed for the real church to be seen on the earth. That's why Jesus said that I've come to bring fire back. The fire is needed in your life, on your life, for others to see who he is, not to see who you are, The fire will show who he is. Will you partake? Will you be the living sacrifice? Will you be the fuel of the fire? Or will you still play games called churchy religion stuff? He wants you to not be afraid of his fire. It is an all-consuming fire. But he wants you to burn brightly, you know. But it has to be his way, not your way. And so, that's what it's all about. His way, not your way. So will you agree with Jesus about he wants fire to come to the earth, but it'll be blazing. It'll be kindled, blazing. You, with your lifestyle, with your yes now, your yes every day, your response to his interaction with you will cause you to be either a blazing fire, a yes response, or be a little flame that has no impact in the world. He's called you, designed you to be influential and to change lives and territories, to be effectual in the air, in that realm, and in the earth.
Come on.
Okay.
Yes, Lord.
But it's only through his ways and his means. He wants you to learn how to operate in him, with him, and because of him. In Ephesians 6:10, we did yesterday, because you're empowered through your union with him. You're not empowered because you know things about him. You get power through the union. Okay? Union. Union, union, union. It's not about you. It's about him. Him in you. That combination. As we learned earlier, fire is not a substance. It's a combination of things. It's a process. You are the same thing. By yourself, you're a substance that has some impact. You can go and slap someone and their face will sting, and you can go and protest. You can have impact by yourself in your own strength. But if you let him breathe over you and ignite the fire in you, then you can have a greater influence on your world, your territory, your friends, your family, and all that. But it's up to you. Will you let him blow on you? Will you let him have his way in you? So he can be a blaze and all-consuming fire, right?
Yes, that's it.
Yes,
so.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.